What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Flash from AFWC Gaming, aka Malachi 36. I'm loving the finger dance there, Bill Dewey. Loving the finger dance. Awesome stuff. Welcome to episode 25 of season 2 for All Things Gaming, aka with AFWC Gaming, aka At Least We Try Gaming. I'm your host again, Flash, aka Malachi 36, with Mill Dewey Carey, and it's the Nine Ball on July 5th. First and foremost, how was everyone's holiday weekend?
It was fun. We had a crazy weekend. Yeah. Holiday weekend.
Heard that. And whether you guys celebrate or not, I just want to make sure that everyone had a good time. And really, really, really hope that everyone had some good food over the weekend. I know for me in particular, we actually went out to the Red, White, and Boom out here. It took Malachi for the first time. And he was scared at first by all the booms, and like it literally came down to a point. Like, he went through several different phases. He went from to then all of a sudden he's like, and then he finished out the night being like, I got a poo poo. It scared the crap out of him, literally. So just a really good time over the weekend, and had some hot dogs and some pizza and all that good stuff. Mildew Carey, how about you?
American lunch and dinner right there.
How about you, man? How'd you celebrate the weekend?
I took a nap.
That's the best way to do it.
This old man took a nap, but no, the reason I took a nap is because I've been playing Monster Hunter Sunbreak like hours straight. Like, I've already gotten to the end game to the end game content, so I've already beaten like the boss of the Sunbreak story, the current boss. So I played a lot of that. So it's like afterwards, like after I got done on Saturday, I'm like, I need a break. I'm done.
So there's two things I want to do before we get into the show proper. One, I know we have been slipping on this, and we'll get better in 2023. I promise you guys. But what is your video game review of Sunbreak there, Mildewey?
So, I love it. Monster Hunter is like one of the old games, like I love playing. Like, I know a lot, like back in the day, it was just the old, just, you know, hunt monsters, grind for gear, just have fun with your friends doing some fun. Now they've got a story to it, you know, so they still have that aspect of going in, just grinding monsters, getting good gears, and leveling up with extra side stuff and doing hunts that are ridiculous. Like, you're facing like three wyverns almost at a time sometimes, you know, because now they've got large maps, as you guys have seen us playing World. Like, you know, they just wander around now. Like, you could be in an area like, I'm fighting this wyvern. Well, here comes a bigger one, you know, wants to play. So, I love the whole creativity in World and Rise and all. And Rise definitely still keeps that. Rise also kind of goes back to the old setup a bit, where you have the village quests go through, and then you can go to online, or you can just jump straight into online if you want to go that way, you know, but you'll miss some story points. You miss the story points if you don't go through the village quests. So, I really enjoyed the whole just walk up, do the stuff solo, and then go into online play. The groups, you know, the community is really good. I really haven't had any bad people on there, or, you know, anyone being like real like negative. If they have been negative, it's been in a different language and I don't understand it, so I don't take offense. But it's a really good game, really good story. Love the additions, and I loved with the DLC that they did. You know, normally you see DLCs, you get like maybe a couple extra hours. Now this is a whole separate game that's counted as a DLC. It's fantastic.
If you had to guess, how many hours would it be for the average player?
For Sunbreak, I'm gonna say I probably. How many hours did I put into that? I'm trying to count my days now. Like, so I started, I think I did like 12 hours the first day.
Okay.
Maybe about 9 hours the second day. I want to say maybe another 8 hours the third day. Like, I'm trying to remember here, and it's kind of like, it's definitely a good amount of hours. So, and when I say, like, I've done that, it's like, I'm talking, like, I did straight hours, too, guys. Like, and this is also including me grinding for extra gear, because you're going into mastering now. So they start you off in the base game as low rank, going into high rank for your basic hunter ranks, and then in the DLCs, they bring in the master rank or G rank. Mainly they've been using master rank, though. Master Rank, though, is way harder. So the base gear that you had, that you did say on regular, like high rank, does not really cut it too well as you go further in the game. So you definitely have to get better gear, level up. So it takes some grinding and all. Same thing for weapons, to get your weapon trees up. So you got some grinds in there. I don't know how long it would take if you went straight base story, though. So I can't make a comment on that one, but I had fun doing it the whole time. And like I said, anytime I was also doing side stuff, they allowed you to, you know, obviously you could send out requests for people to join. People join. It's just, you know, a lot of times I said, I, you know, say hi, thanks for coming. They'd be like, hey, nice to be here. And we just have fun hunting, you know. One thing they did add in Sunbreak that's kind of cool that I really enjoyed, and I hope they continue this trend in upcoming Monster Hunter games, is they had follow requests. These requests were actually, so you have characters inside Monster Hunter Rise and Sunbreak that you interact with and all. These follow requests allow you actually to take them on a hunt with you. So you actually, they give you a quest saying, hey, I want to go hunt this monster, this wyvern. Can you come along with me? And it kind of has like a little like relationship builder thing in there. It's not like, you know, Mass Effect or Dragon Age or anything where it's like, you know, building up the friendship points or anything like that. It's just you interacting, getting more interactions with these hunters that you talk to normally inside this world. So
sounds very similar to like Dragon's Dogma and some of the Sword Art Online games.
Kind of, yeah. Like, so, but like I said, you don't have like a full meter and all. It's just like you do the quest and they can give you another quest. And there's sometimes where it's like, I actually got to take two of them on there because they actually have interactions with each other, you know. So it's a lot of fun and a really good DLC. And if this is the pathway that they're going, like I said, I can't wait to see more of what they do in upcoming Monster Hunter titles.
If you had to put it on the 10-point scale for the ALWC's gaming scale, what would you rate it? Rate it on a 10. So 10. That is with the, because I was going to ask you for your personal and for your professional. It would be 10 on both.
Oh, well, if you're going to be that way. Personal is definitely a 10. Professional, I'd probably say I'd give it a 9. Not to be like fully like harping on it or anything. Like, the world is fantastic. The story is wonderful. The characters are very intuitive, interactive, and all. It's fluid motions between the areas and all. You've got, I love the spirit bugs maneuvers, like the very unique and a lot of fun with the weaponry and all. The only kind of complaints-ish I have is just, it's just the guild hub, and it, I think this is more based on the system it's on, really, is because like if you do a lobby, you've only got up to 4 people that you can really join in a lobby with if you do anything like that. Whereas, like, you know, in the world and all, like, you've got hubs that you can go into with larger groups and everything. Which I kind of understand, but I feel like that's also been a big problem with Nintendo, is that they just, even as they've been increasing their capabilities, they haven't, I don't really feel like, gone, like, too much in touch with online capabilities and interactions with people. The other downside is also, if I want to play with friends on there and I want to talk to them while we're playing, there's no really way to do that.
Yeah.
So we always have to do Discord, or to be honest, me and my friend Zenshin, so V2033, we actually just talk on the PlayStation apps on our phones. We kind of just sidetrack it that way. So they've got some work definitely that they could do in there, but I feel like it's still a really good game, and just those small things is enough to really truly hurt it a lot. But I'd still say 9 out of 10, just because professionally, like, there's always room to grow. But me personally, definitely 10 out of 10.
Awesome. So there you guys have it. If you guys have a Switch and have gotten to the end game content of Monster Hunter Rise, or if you just want to even dabble inside some break portion of it, you have Mildew Akira.
They brought the, I believe they brought the Defender and Guardian gear back.
There you go.
To help with that. There you go. I know they got the Defender weapon, so I'm pretty sure they got the Guardian armors in there to get you all through that gameplay.
And I do want to, I think we tackled this a little bit before, but I want to tackle it again, and I want to speak with you first on this nine ball. Your review on the PlayStation Plus subscription, the tier subscriptions. Me and you both have the premium tier. We both have been able to I'm assuming we both had dabbled into it a bit and seen what games they have to offer from Vita all the way up to PS5. What is your overall assessment of the service so far?
Right now, I give it.
What would you rate it?
Oh, okay. I like it. There's a lot of old games, and I do like the trial system. I'm currently trying out because I was looking at buying like Tiny Tina's Wonderland. Mm-hmm. So I got the 2-hour trial, and I'm trying that out right now. Overall, for me, I would give it a 7. The problem isn't the games. The problem is I feel like they need more games. And I know we're going to talk about that. Like, we're going to talk about some of the things they're doing, which is, I feel like, a step in the right direction when we get to that. But as it stands right now, I think they need more games on it. I thought the selection actually was going to be much larger than what I got currently.
Heard that. I'm kind of in the same boat as you, but I understand why there's not more games right now. If you gave us everything up front, then there's nowhere else to really go. You know what I mean? Like, because Game Pass actually did the same thing. Like, they'll get, like, there's some stuff that just makes sense. It's like, there's a huge miss that's not there. Nintendo's even doing this right now with their Switch, online service for Switch. It's like, you have these 64 games. How come it's not there right now? They're rolling these out progressively and over the months and quarters and stuff like that. So that way it keeps you engaged and that you're focusing on certain games at a time and all that good stuff. So I get it, but I am in the same boat as you, and I actually would rate it the same way, a 7 out of 10 as well. Maybe even a 6, to be completely honest with you. I will say I've been playing a lot more poker than I ever thought I ever would.
Can you sit down in front of the TV, put your sunglasses on, have the cigar in your mouth going, all right, let's go, boys?
I probably should, to be honest with you, because you do like little virtual, like, look at your cards and stuff. Feels so official, man. I have been able to test out different games and new games and stuff like that, so I have been liking that. Literally, just Silence says inside the chat, premium rep, yes, we're just giving you our little review on that. And then also, on top of all that, we're going to have access to, Extra and Premium is going to have access to Stray in the next 2 weeks. So that'll be a nice little day one exclusive, not exclusive, but day one. Is it a PlayStation exclusive? I know it's not a PlayStation Showcase. Yeah, but I know it's not a PlayStation Showcase, but I can't remember if it was the PlayStation exclusively. But I know this is going to be day one on the premium service for Extra and Premium, so that's definitely going to be something we're checking out, and I think that's...
According to Game Rant, it says PlayStation console exclusive Cat Game Stream gets an official release date, and it's confirmed as a day one release for PS Plus, Extra, and Premium. That was posted June 2nd.
That's very interesting.
I was not aware of that.
I knew it was at the PlayStation Showcase.
I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I knew it was at the PlayStation Showcase, but I couldn't remember if that was a PlayStation exclusive, and it sounds like it is, so there you go. But again, with how much excitement there is behind that indie title, it is something that's just like, all right, do I want to drop $30 for it, or what? But now you don't even have to worry about that. If you have the extra or higher, then you have this game when it comes out at launch. So that's a nice little tidbit right there. Right now, again, I'm right there with you. I rate it out of a 7. I'll see if that will increase or decrease as time goes on, because right now the PS1 games are very extremely scarce. Like, there's barely any PS Vita games, PSP games, or PS1 games. The PS3 streaming, which actually is going to talk about later on in one of the stories that we have right now, I streamed one game, and it streamed perfectly fine for me. But again, it was just one game I tried out, so I can't talk too much on that. And then, like, it is nice to see the level of games that they do have on there that kind of cross over onto Game Pass, too, as well. But, of course, you have Xbox that has all their Xbox-exclusive games are going to be on Game Pass. Like, their Xbox first-party games are going to be on Game Pass, which is definitely a huge point on checkmark on Xbox's side. So PlayStation probably will never adopt that unless they ever, like, fall behind. But I'm curious to see what PlayStation is going to do to entice their premium members and their extra members moving forward. So
yeah.
So there.
I'm definitely glad to hear that from you guys. Like I said, you know, because as you guys know, Malachi and Nineball talked about that. I didn't, because I wasn't sure about it, because it just kind of reminded me of too much of the Nintendo situation that went on when they did theirs. So I'm as far as you guys have said, it sounds like everything's working fine and all, just the library's limited, which that is fine by me. A library that works, you can do saves and everything on, get stuff playing, going, streaming and everything, that's good, and then build up from there. You know, that sounds like they're definitely taking the right approach to this and definitely moving it forward to where it's good, beneficial for not only for them as a company, but also for the players as well. Yeah. So I actually applaud this movement, and if they get more and more, maybe I'll switch over. Who knows?
And also, there's a couple things that I actually want to point out that I can't believe I didn't point out. Me and actually Sam were talking about this on the phone not too long ago, but the fact that I have access to one of the big games for PS5 currently, Returnal, I just haven't booted it up yet, but the fact that I have full access to that is pretty cool. So that's one. And then another thing that also, and like, there's other games out there too. Like, if I didn't already have Horizon Forbidden West and I was on the fence on getting it, I could just play the trial. I don't know how long the trial's going to be for. But yeah, he says, the Legion of Silence says, give us downloadable PS3 titles and it will be a 10 out of 10 for sure. We're actually going to talk about that today, actually. That's, I think, our story number three.
I'm jumping ahead, Silent.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that today, man. But yeah. There's that, and then also, like, one thing that I thought was cool, which I didn't even realize that they were going to do this, the day it came out, the day that the tier services came out, I went in there, I was like, all right, I want to go ahead and get the plus, the premium, and try and have that a trial run, all that good stuff. When I went to go buy it, it didn't cost me $119. It cost me $27. It had prorated it for the remainder of my subscription that I currently had.
Interesting.
And so come this October, I think it's October 30th, then it will renew for a full year for the full $119 plus tax. So that was also a plus side, is that since I already have plus and they weren't going to like up me even more money, I was purely expecting to pay the full $120, but I didn't. I only had to pay $27. I was like, oh, awesome. Like, this is fantastic for me right now. Because now I can, gas price is going up and everything. I was like, oh, gas or plus. Obviously, I would have gone the gas route, but I didn't have to. That's the beauty about it. Literally Just Silent says, Returnal is 100% a great play. Would have not paid $70 for it, but wow, it's incredible. So
yeah, I agree with him totally.
Yeah, and again, for it to be included inside the plus service right now for extra and premium, that's just a nice little knock, like a nice little check mark for PlayStation there. I will say, and I say this right now, is would me and Nineball, would we have had the same experience if we just went for extra, which is $90 for the year? Probably. I think that we probably would right now. Besides he said that he's doing a trial for one of the games right now, Tiny Tina's Wonderland. So he's doing a trial for that.
Return, I remember I bought it.
You ended up buying it already?
Yeah, I bought Returnal.
No, not Returnal, but for, like, so if we were at the extra, Nineball wouldn't have access to the trial for Tiny Tina's Wonderland. So that's one of the things that I heard from this conversation, that's probably the only thing that is benefiting premium members over extra. Other than that, everything else that we just talked about, you can experience as extra right now. So if you're not, like, hardcore into those older titles and streaming PS3 games, or downloading even some of the PS2 games, then right now I would wait for that library to get a little bit more beefier for premium. That's my two cents on that. But now to get into the show proper. Oh, before we get into the show proper, actually, since I have four out of the six of us here, what's up?
Yellow card, false start on Malachi 36.
Two different sports.
Talente, but that's okay. Is one horror game, must be played.
Literally Just Silent said, Wonderlands is easily my number two behind Elden Ring currently.
Dude, right. Wonderlands is fantastic.
I'm loving it currently.
There you go.
I'm looking at so buying it.
Oh, it's so much fun, dude. If you get on there, let me know. Hit me up. We can definitely tag team it.
I'll be able to... I'll can access that too as well if you guys get some free time and...
Hey, I think you can get to four people.
There you go. So, Fantasy Gaming League, for anyone that does not know what that is, that again, that is our Fantasy Gaming League, which is very similar to Fantasy Football. We all get together, have some laughs, have some fun, and we pick our teams, which is AKA games that we believe are coming out this year and that we believe are going to be good. It is on a, instead of going against one person at a time, you're against everybody on an annual basis. And it's on a 100-point scale with 70 points being the threshold. Anything above 70 points gains you points. Anything below 70 points, and again, this is top Metacritic, loses you points. And then anything that's at 70, you neither gain nor lose. I will also point out there that we do have a thing on there called counter picks, where you're trying to screw up your opponent. Every player has one counter. They can counter pick one other player on the roster. And if they counterpick their game and it comes out and does poorly, then they get the game, the points that that person would have lost, the other player that counterpicked it would gain. And vice versa, if it does great, they would have lost those points. And if it does not come out, we do have it set up to where the, whoever got their game counterpicked cannot drop that game. So, here's what our current standings are right now. Moga, in first place, and I'm going to read off his list. He had Mako Hau great again. He has Elden Ring, 31 points. Pokemon Legends Arceus, 14 points. Sifu, 10 points. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, 12 points. He has Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is pending. He had and is currently counterpicked. He has Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, got him 17 points. He still has two open spots. And he has a counterpick of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, which is not coming out this year. In second place is our former winner, Carrot Patch Inc. He has Gran Turismo 7, 17 points. Forspoken, pending. Tunic, 15 points. Splatoon 3, pending. Stray, pending. Salt and Sacrifice, 6 points. Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, pending. Hogwarts Legacy, pending. And he has a counterpick of Chocobo GP, which got him 5 points, adding to his score of 43. In third place is yours truly with ALWT Gaming. I have Horizon Forbidden West, 18 points. A Plague Tale Requiem, pending. Ghostwire Tokyo, 6 points. Gotham Knights, pending. King of Fighters, 15, 11 points. Mario Strikers Battle League, 3 points. That's going down. I feel like it was at 7 points before, but now it's at 3. The Callisto Protocol, pending. The Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, pending. I have a counterpick of Bayonetta 3. So far, my counterpick of Bayonetta 3 is looking pretty juicy right now. That's all I'm saying. in fourth place is Renzoku-ken, who has, our boy right there, silent, they're just silent. He has God of War Ragnarok, pending. Triangle Strategy, 13 points. Suicide Squad, Killed the Justice League, not coming out this year. Chocobo GP, negative 5 points. Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, 15 points. Final Fantasy 16, not coming out this year, which bummed the crap out of me, but I get it. Metro Prime 4, pending. He has an open slot still, and he has a counter pick of Diablo Immortal, which got him 7 points. Locking him in there for fourth place. Fifth place, Zaka Corp. He has Tiny Tina's Wonderland, 8 points. Saints Row, pending. Total War Warhammer 3, 16 points. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, pending. Warhammer 40k Dark Tide, pending. Scorn, pending. Live Alive, pending. He has a counter pick, or he has an open spot still, and he has a counter pick of Marvel's Midnight Suns. And lastly, in last place, but not lastly, he's not leastly. That's what I should say. He's not leastly. Illuminatus Living, LSB Live, has Dying Light 2 Stay Human, 6 points. Bayonetta 3, pending. Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin, 3 points. Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortals, negative 7 points. Shovel Knight Dig, pending. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, pending. Oh, he has an open spot. And he has a counterpick of Saints Row. He's in last place right now with a single point. I have a couple questions here. One, I don't remember Zaka Corp picking up Live Alive. When did you do that?
Oh, about a weekend.
Heard that. Wait. Let me see. He says, counterpicks, a.k.a. Silent, is boned. Oh, we love you, Silent. We love you, man.
I mean, you're definitely not going to take last.
Yeah.
Unless something happens.
Hey, anything can still shake up. It's still every man's game. It's going to be hard to catch up to Ohio, though, because he has some
games on his list. If he ever gets on there and picks up two more games, like, I mean, he's definitely got this one in the bag. He had such a high roster, you know, so yeah. His score, like, unless he picks up two games that I'm actually just tank him, you know, don't know how he's going to do that, you know. I'm still waiting on... I got a couple of games coming out, you know, so we're going to have to wait and see. My biggest concern, though, is Hogwarts Legacy, because that one, I'm hoping they do drop this year, but...
I'm confident it's going to drop this year.
That one's kind of been nippy, but that game looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that's going to drop this year, to be honest with you. But yeah, I was curious about Live Alive. I had a question. Do you guys believe that God of War Ragnarok is actually going to drop this year?
I haven't heard much about it. And I feel like
it's... it will.
What was that, Nine Ball?
I said they're claiming it will.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's no stuff about delay, and it's just been... Oh, go ahead, Mildew.
It's because they've been so silent. Unless they're going to do a sneak drop on us and just be like, surprise! You know, they may be waiting to see if they can get it in that time or if it's going to be worth it to push it off. So we may hear something... I want to say probably towards the fall is when we may know for sure whether or not they're going to do a drop or whether it's going to push back. Me personally, I'm okay with either. I would just say if they're really this like questioning on it, I'd probably say just take the time, guys, and just push it back to Q1 of 2023.
Here's my thing. Here's my prediction about this whole thing. We just entered July. Next month is August. If PlayStation has a showcase in the next 6 weeks and God of War is there, it's going to... Well, first and foremost, if the PlayStation ends up having a showcase, God of War is going to be there.
It's going to have to be at this point.
And if it's there, which, again, I highly think it will be the case, I don't think it will get delayed. If PlayStation does not have a showcase in July or August and has like a September showcase or something like that, then at that point, I don't think that God of War is coming out at all this year. So with that being said, we have, what, about 55 days now at this point for PlayStation to be like, hey, we're having a showcase. It's going to be about an hour and a half long, and it's going to be all about this. We have like that might be happening. And we'll just have to kind of see in the next literally like two months, roughly. That's my prediction on that one. And then my last question here was I know you guys have dabbled just a little bit inside the demo for Stranger of Paradise, but there's a DLC that's coming out for Stranger of Paradise, and it's one of the stories that's out there on GameSpy, and you guys can. We can have that be a required reading, if you will, or whatever. But it is talking about how it's going to be more chaotic than the actual game. Actual gameplay itself is really fun. Story is absolute garbo. But the gameplay of itself is really fun. I'm curious to see what this DLC is going to look like and how it's going to be presented. So that's my whole spiel with that. But now we get into the game proper, the show proper. And as I'm pulling this up, I actually am going to play some video in the background. Mildew, do you mind starting to read story number one for us as I get this
I setup? Totally do, but I'll just go ahead and take it anyways.
Love you, Tail.
Another battle royale! But it may work. Ryan Dinsdale from IGN, Bandai Namco, has released a new trailer for its My Hero Academia Battle Royale! My Hero Ultra Rumble, and announced a second beta. Players from the US and Canada can sign up for the PlayStation 4 beta on the game's website. The test will give invitees the chance to play Ultra Rumble ahead of its official release date. While the beta is restricted to one platform, Ultra Rumble will also be released for Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC via Steam. The trailer gives fans the first look at the game following its announcement in January. The gameplay looks truly chaotic as 24 characters use their hyper-colorful abilities to duke it out in the team-based battle royale. Not only are there flashes of fire shooting around, plus ice walls, ground pounds, teleportation, and lots more onomatopoeia of booms, crackles, and crashes also appear in massive colorful letters around the attacks. The trailer also implies that players will participate as trios with 8 teams battling for victory in total. A wide range of characters from the anime were shown, including Deku, Bakugo, Todoroki, All Might, Uraraka, and more.
So, as you guys can kind of see right now, this is like kind of the gameplay of it. I am going to, it's very similar to, it's a traditional battle royale right here, to where, like, you have your starting area, warm-ups, all that good stuff. I'm going to fast forward a little bit too, you guys can see a little bit more gameplay. Here's Bakugo right here, like, jumping around, all that good stuff. Pretty much, again, your standard battle royale, pretty much, right? My thing, and I know that there's been a lot of battle royales that's been out there already. I already know that. My thing is that
Rock a Blade Point.
My thing with this one though is that this, like, it looks cool for sure, but also I'm like curious on how well it's going to stick, because this is actually pretty much how the anime is. It's pretty much is a battle royale because they have all these different exams and tests and stuff that they go through. This feels like you're playing the show, in my opinion. So I'm just kind of curious as to where you guys fall on this. I know you guys probably battle royaled out, but would this be something that would get you guys back into it just to try it out, or even back into it full time? I want to start off with you there, Mildewy.
With who?
Mildewy. I want to start with you.
Oh, sorry. It was like so quiet I couldn't hear who you're talking you're about. I'm like, who does he want? I mean, for fans of My Hero Academia, to be honest, there's a lot of them because it's a very big game. Now, that scene, just where they're shooting across the whole map, like part of the halfway of the map and damaging stuff, that's pretty unique. Because I don't see any battle royals where you could like shoot like at least a good distance away from and get hits on. So the thing looks. The thing I'm kind of curious about, though, is the balancing of powers between a lot of these people. Because they got All Might in there. They've got the, looks like the one sensei that was the guy who uses clay and all.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like they got some of the villains, too. But the thing is that, you know, All Might's supposed to be way better than all these kids. You know, even with his limited number, like with his limited time, like he's technically supposed to be better than them. So my question is power scalings, items usage, you know, looks like you had like health drinks and stuff in there, like they're collecting cards or something. So I don't know what those were about. So the biggest concern is trying to, one, keep the balance of power for these people and still make it fun. But also, like, you know, balancing of items and all, trying to make it work to where, you know, you don't have combos that, you know, someone just metas and then, you know, you just lose interest in the game because there's this one or two characters that are meta with this way in this team comp, you know. So it's, you know, really the, is the going people to are be,
figure that they're gonna mess with this.
They're gonna figure ways out, obviously. But then it comes down to the developer to try and make it to where it's not as easy to figure out, you know. Or to where it's not as easy to build a meta where it's just one person and just OP as heck and there's no counter to it. You know, you want to be able to, even though if they build something like very strong and powerful, you want to be able to have counters to it. You know, we've seen this problem with, you know, other games like, you know, League of Legends, Smite, and stuff like that. You know, so I'm really curious on that whole aspect of gameplay and mechanic wise and everything. So in terms of fighting and all, and being, you know, true to the My Hero Academia universe, definitely, like you said, you know, they have the exams. It's like, you know, it's like heroes versus villains in a way, or villains versus, you know, heroes, depending on who you're playing as or what team comps. I don't think that's a problem. Like I said, my main thing is just with the mechanic wise. So, all in all, looks really fun. We'd definitely probably give it a try out, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see what comes of the beta.
Nineball.
Well, me and My Hero Academia, I don't know much about it.
Okay.
I've watched some. It looks kind of fun. Like, I've seen some characters that looks fun. And as a, I always thought My Hero Academia would probably do like a better cops versus robbers style of game. Mm-hmm. Than what we're getting. It doesn't look bad. It's just, I don't know. I'm still like kind of fatigued out on battle royale. And will this be different enough to separate itself?
And that's the thing. I don't know if it technically has to be different enough different just because it is My Hero.
I feel like though it should have that though. Yeah, if you copy and paste too much, it can really just burn people out. And even if you're using a new skin on it. Now, like I said, some of these abilities look like they might be able to help make it that way. Mm. But it really comes down to core mechanics, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, like you guys said, like I think that that's probably one of the things that they have so much that they can play with the perks. One of the things, like right here, this climbing is really cool to me. But one of the things that was also kind of cool to me was that, like, I saw some of the animations they were fighting and Bakugo was like shooting his fire. The tree freaking caught on fire. Like, that was something that I thought was like kind of a cool aesthetic that I kind of have. And yeah.
It's immersive.
Yeah, we'll just have to kind of see more of what this game is going to have to offer. I am excited to play it because, again, it is My Hero. I'm fully caught up on the anime series. I haven't read any of the manga, but I'm fully caught up on the anime and watched all three of the movies.
I'm curious on how many they're going to put in here. Cause like
24.
If you know about... No, I'm talking about like in terms of characters. Like, because if you know about the My Hero Academia universe, there's a ton of characters.
I got to get back to
it. So that kind of goes back to my point of... you know, who is going to be in there? Are they going to put everyone in? They're only going to put the main points in, you know, and then power scalings and all that. So, you know, it's the standard concerns, I guess, for any MOBAs that are out there that are coming out and all. Just so hopefully it does good. I know it's got a huge fan base, so it probably will, you know, but. We'll have to see.
That we do. And I do want to close it out. I do want to close out this little section of it with the official trailer, so we can watch exactly how it was announced. And if you guys have yet to actually sign up for the beta, I definitely recommend it. I went ahead and did so actually when it first had dropped. So very, very exciting stuff there. Let me see here before
Peggy 12.
Make sure I'm getting to the right one. Hold on. Go bring this back and bam full screen. You guys should be able to see it. You guys see it, right? Bam.
Yeah. Peggy
12.
Yeah, there we go. So this is the official drop. This is the official trailer that came out a couple days ago actually from Bandai Namco.
I'll get stronger. I'm doing this. I won't hold back.
Let's go.
Don't you dare hold me back, extras.
I'll handle this.
Careful! Enemies ahead.
Yeah, got it.
You can leave this to me.
Got it! Let's win!
Good. So much trash.
I don't play with you.
So excited.
You're having fun.
Because we are here.
Stop you here.
No mercy.
Give me everything.
I'll blow you away.
I won't let you.
No escape. I'll fuck you.
I'll take care of it. I'll scatter them.
Come on!
Don't try me!
So obvious!
Turn to ash!
Go!
Power!
Okay, let's go! That's the spirit!
There you go. And those are the
potential.
We should go there!
You said what?
That it has potential?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt that. Just, can they deliver on it?
It's gonna be on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, Steam, and it's all in Unreal Engine.
I just always, from what I've seen of My Hero Academia, I always thought it would do better as like a cops versus robbers style. We're going to have some people playing as the heroes and some people playing as villains.
It was the Rainbow Six Siege?
No, kind of like how DC Universe did theirs, but you had like heroes and villains.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea, actually. Like, I think that could be another game that they could emerge into the series. Just have an MMORPG style like that. Because that's what DC Universe was.
Yeah.
All right. So there you have it. So again, like I said, if you guys have yet to actually try it out, make sure you guys go to Bandai Namco's website and go ahead and enroll inside the beta and try to wait for the code, and hopefully you will be accepted inside that. I know for me, I'm jumping on it immediately if I get that. Story number two, NFT consoles. You want to talk about NFT consoles? Yeah, you heard me right, guys. Oliver Vandervoort from Game Rant says this in the article. Billed as the first NFT console, the Pollium 1 was announced on Monday, but the device was already under some quite a bit of criticism from the gaming public. While some people have complained about the Pollium 1's ties to NFTs in general, others are far more annoyed that the logo from the new console looks quite a bit like the logo from the defunct but still beloved Nintendo GameCube. Web3 company Pollium is producing the Pollium 1 and is being billed as a console that will be powerful enough to run quote-unquote high-performance games. The company also said in its announcement that of the new device that it will be simple enough for people who aren't familiar with the Web3 will still be able to play this console. Those interested in getting their hands on the Pollium 1 will supposedly be able to do so in Q3 of 2024 as long as they first buy a Pollium Pass, which is an NFT on the Eurythium network. The company said that there will be 10,000 of these Pollium Passes minted at first. End quote, end story. I have my thoughts, but I'm going to reserve those for the end. I want to take this on over to Nine.
No, first. Lead, Malachi.
No, because I have nothing good to say. Nine Ball, start the negativity, and I will end the wrath.
You already know what I'm going to say. Yeah. NFT console, and they never learn from Soulja Boy's console. Don't go after Nintendo. It's the one thing Nintendo does pay attention to, okay? They may not have an actual internet, but somehow they got people that keep tabs on that stuff. Nintendo is extremely protective of their franchise. If it even looks like the general shape of it, I don't care if you make a misspelling of an M and it looks like an N, you might get a phone call from Nintendo.
From Nintendo? It's from Mario and his lawyers.
Pretty much. NFT console, I don't really know a lot about NFTs, but I've not heard nothing good about them. And with all these other ones I've seen in the past that just sort of sucked, I don't see this one making it. It'll be simple enough for people who aren't familiar. The consoles are already easy enough to put together. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Computers are easy enough to put together.
Good yeah, Lord. He's talking about announcement of a new device that is simple enough that people who aren't familiar with Web3. I don't know what that means. But I don't even know what a Pollium, and nobody knows but this stuff. What does Pollium Pass even mean? Like, I would have to look up what that even is. Nobody wants to take a gamble. And that's one of them. They're like one of them shady websites. Oh, sorry. Go on ahead there. Go on ahead there, Flash.
Oh, no. If you had something else to add, I was volunteering to be negative at the end, but with Mildewy Care's permission, I would like to cut and jump into this reign of negativity. Thank you, oh wise one. Thank you. So, what the hell are they thinking? You know what? I'm going to get to you, Silent, inside the chat, because that is a bit of positivity that I did see. I did see that, and we're going to talk about that. But right now, I'm on my negative rant with this NFT crap. First and foremost, we already had. I mean, now granted, I'm looking at the glass half full. Still, I think that it could still possibly happen. But we had Stadia. We had Luna. We have Luna. We had Stadia, but we have Luna still. You also had...
Apparently Stadia's still there.
Now those are still streaming services with the controller and stuff. Okay, all right. But then you have the KFC machine. And then you also have not the Steam Deck, but the Steam Box, right? You had them try to have different entries into the video game business. almost none of them worked. Almost none of them did. And yet you want to be ignorant enough to come out with a gaming console to prioritize on NFTs, which right now maybe 2% of the entire like industry even understands. Like, everyone that's trying to do NFTs right now is not doing it the right way for the most part. Like, there's a small percentage of people that's doing NFTs and are actually doing it the right way. Outside of that, it's no different than a pyramid scheme with the people, like, the way that they're getting all their rights to designs and license and stuff like that. Like, no one fully understands it, which is why it hasn't been taken off the way that companies are wanting it to take off. So I don't understand this such a harsh push for NFTs right now when we don't even have the exact formula of it right correct across the board. Like, this screams ignorance to me when it comes down to the gaming industry. Absolute ignorance. Could it work? Maybe. And maybe it could work. I don't see it working. Not anytime soon. And making a competitor to PlayStation and Xbox and Nintendo and now Steam and slapping NFTs as your front runner is not really the smartest thing. So very, and then on top of that, you can pre-order it, but first you have to buy a Palladium pass. I don't know. This whole thing just screams ignorance to me. Mildewy.
So, for those of you guys who don't know what NFTs are, so we can just kind of put a definition on here. The NFTs are non-fungible tokens, which are pretty much being made as a financial security consisting of a digital data stored in a blockchain, which is some form of a distributed ledger, and the NFTs can be traded or sold by the owners. And then Web3 is the idea of a new iteration of the World Wide Web, guys, which incorporates concepts such as decentralization, using the same distributed ledger as an NFT, with blockchain technologies and token-based economics. It's like they're trying to push for a full digital system based on a Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies for full digital training and digitalization of it all. I'm like, it sounds like we're trying to make our life into Ready Player One with this system. It's like they're trying to push it so far forward to become this. I definitely don't agree with this right now, because the problem I have, obviously, first off, is there's only a select group out there. Like, in terms of cryptocurrencies, unless you were there at the beginning and got going at the beginning, you cannot really jump into Bitcoins or cryptocurrencies unless you've got a big bank account. Because the problem is it takes almost like a warehouse full of farming equipment. And I say farm equipment, I mean like racks of graphics processing units running to find unique line codes that they can create a cryptocurrency for you. Like, you have to have a warehouse full of this stuff. You've got to have the cooling units for it to keep them from frying themselves. Like, it's a massive thing. And now you're talking about trying to make a game system based on the idea of token based and blockchain technologies. Like, it makes no sense to me. It's like they're trying to, like you said, Malachi, it's like they're trying to force this to become the new reality, and we're not ready for that, guys. At all. Like, our technology is not to the point where anyone can really harm this. Like you talk about this thing being able to do this stuff. Like, I want to know what specs you're putting into it that you think would make it work to the point of making it viable for this.
Cool. High performance.
It's got to be. But here's the thing, though. Like, you see how big our PlayStation 5s are. Let me point that out. How big our PS5s are. To make something that can run high-end in terms of just a base PC, you're spending almost, I don't know, I'm going to spitball here, probably about, what, 5, 6K?
For what?
For just like, for right now, current gen, with the with the highest spec gear in terms of GPU, CPU, RAM, and memory, along with the motherboard and casings to hold it, and possible cooling units depending upon whatever system you're using. It probably could run about 6K, because like most of the high GPUs right now are about 2 to 3K. No,
I actually have a story I ran into, and I've been checking on prices. They've actually taken a dip, and they're actually back down to almost normal prices now.
Oh, okay. Well, then actually, you can probably do it about maybe about 4K then.
Yeah, I've been looking with the Amazon sale coming up. I started casing prices, so when the sale does hit, I'll be able to tell what's on sale and what's not.
That's definitely good, and I'm right there with you. But I definitely did not know that they were dropping the
GPUs, like the 3070 is back down to like 6-700, where it should be about.
That's good news. Very good news.
It's not like 1300.
I was using the stuff of like when we were having COVID and all the chip issues, where it's like trying to get one is just ridiculous. But even still, even with that, you're still talking 4K. That's $4,000. How many families out there, even up to middle class, have that amount of money to drop on that type of PC? And not only that, know enough about computer hardware to be able to put it together without having to call Geek Squad or whoever that they use to do it for them. Like, they're talking about it, trying to make it sound like, well, this will make it so much easier for people to do and understand. I'm like, I don't agree with that, because I could give someone even the basic computer, and like, I tried to teach some people how to do it, like show them. They're like, oh, I'm so bored. I can't focus on this. Oh no, this is too much. I'm like, this is what's needed to do this. It's not simple. Like, it's simple in terms of, yes, they've already made the stuff for you. You guys got to put them together, but you got to know how to put it together right, or else you're screwed. Because if you don't put it together right, you can pretty much fry it. So, I just, you and Nineball said, Malachi, it kind of screams of ignorance almost. So
yeah, completely tone deaf to the community, completely tone deaf to what's going on right now. Makes absolutely no sense to come out with a brand new console to compete, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to end up comparing it to PlayStation, Switch, Nintendo, or Xbox, and now Steam Deck. They're going to compare it to those different companies. But you want your front runner to be NFTs? Which, again, 90% of the population just does not understand right now. Like, it makes absolutely zero sense. I don't understand what their end game or what their goal is right now.
Oh, yeah, but you have to buy this thing called a Pallium Pass?
Yeah.
It's a Pallium Pass.
Which is an NFT on some sort of Ethereum network. I'm like, what the heck are we going here? I'm like, yeah. I kind of feel like I just got an email saying a Nigerian prince just found out that we're related. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm trying to Google it now, because I don't know.
Like, I had to read Google Web3, because that one was a new one, but I knew the NFTs, and that one definitely is just, that's some shady work there. That's about as bad as, like, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, in my opinion. Like, just that whole thing, like, I may be ignorant to it. You know, I may not be one of those, you know, new age in-depth data miners or anything, but
I do want to put out here, and then I also want to get to the little update that Silent had brought up inside the chat. He said the fact that $600 to $700 is considered cheap for only a part of your gaming rig, and people whine about people preferring console gaming. So there. I mean, there you have it. It's definitely
that's another point that we tend to point out is, like, you know, I like Malachi, I believe, pointed this out probably first season, guys, is that consoles are made for those that don't have the capability of buying components consistently and updating to run a PC, you know. But I will say this, though. Yeah,
the thing about it, too, is also you got to think about something. A PC has a lot more uses than a console. And this is something big that a lot of people don't go into.
Yeah.
With a PC, you get a lot more out of it. You get a lot more games out of it. And your PC is like, I don't have to buy a 3070 right now. This is top-end stuff. Like, I don't have to buy a 3070. If a 3070 is back down to 700,
That tells me that, like, if I wanted to, I can go a 2070 or something, which is probably about 200-300.
And still works.
Yeah, and it works just as good as the console.
And I'm going to point out, guys, Malachi is currently online, streaming with us, gaming with us on PC, and he's using the guts, like I'm talking like the hardcore guts, full build, of my first build PC that I made myself, and it's running for him just as fine. And that thing, I'm going to say, is probably about, I want to say, 8 to 9 years old or more. And it's still running good. Now, is he probably due for an update here coming soon? Most likely, because the games coming out are going to require more processing power. But what I'm getting at is you could still have an old rig and still run stuff on there currently with a PC. But that's if you want to go that route, you know? And that's why I'm a big advocate of, like, if I've already bought the stuff and all, and I've gotten my uses out of it, I'm A-OK saying, hey, this is a used system. These are used guts, but who does anyone need a PC? And it could be for small gaming, or it could be for just anything, you know? So, back to the contract, though, because I did kind of slide over there. Sorry, guys. Yeah, Silent, you're right. $600 to $700 is considered cheap for just one component. That's if you do the whole build. But the point being, too, is those builds can last so long as you take care of it. And you don't go nine balls route of overclocking just because you want to really push it to the limit, you know? You want that extra 10 RPMs so you can make those graphics extra fancy. I think you almost overcharge your system, like, what, once or twice their nine ball?
Yeah, blowing it out. It's fine now.
You had to bleed the electricity out of it. It was stacking. But yeah, no, I mean, I will say, though, that this NFT is... Let's see. Silent says, I won't discount the utility lifetime of PC. I'm really mentioning the exorbitant buy-in price of anyone wanting to get into the PC gaming world from scratch.
Yeah.
And I agree.
No. You don't have to go, like, that high-end. Okay?
If you want the newer stuff, yes. But as Nymo was saying...
This is, like, that's 3070s, 3080s, 3090s, or, like, the top-end, the brand new stuff.
That's like fresh out of off the line, like the newer gen stuff. You can get older components still, so long as they're only, I think, like, what, two or three gens backwards, nine ball.
RTX 2060 is about 2060, 6 gigs, about 200-300. That's for a 2060.
There are small things.
To go super high, I just look at the 3070 because normally if I do a build, I want it to last, so I get the pieces now. And, like, this one can go, went through, like, two generations. So, it's...
Malachi's got a 1080, and that thing's been going forever. But one thing that before we move on, because I know we're kind of going off on our own tangent here, Silent, is one thing also, guys, you don't have to buy it all at once. That's the misconception of building a PC. There are sales, Black Friday sales, you know, the Amazon sales. You can buy each component from scratch, keep it in its boxing until you've got everything, and then you can build it together.
Yeah,
that's actually one thing I recommend, and I know Nineball recommends too, is don't just go out and buy one thing unless you really want to do that. You know, unless that's you're just like, I need to do it now, then do it to it. But you can just buy components and Newegg, Amazon, Micro Center. Just go out there, buy them randomly. When you see a sale, you get a good price on them, stockpile them, you know, set them at a little corner, and then once that's done, you get out that table, put on the gloves, and build your computer, you know?
It's one other thing, too, about it. It's basically... Oh, I'm sorry. It's basically, too, when you get a PC, there's certain things you don't have to worry about paying. You don't pay for Xbox or PlayStation Plus or anything like that. Yeah, but you don't really need them. It's not, like, necessary to play online with friends on them.
Right,
Silent says 2060 is still half the price of a top-of-the-line PS5.
Yeah, that was his whole point, is that, I know you guys...
Yeah, I know, this. I know.
And also, Silent understands it, too.
Yeah, I know.
For people that are out there...
You got two PC nerds here, and you start us on it. It's we're gonna go.
Yeah, no, yeah, like, again, I will reiterate again, he says the fact that $600, $700 is cheap for a part, you're gaming people, and people whine about people preferring console gaming. Obviously, this is not talking about you guys, he's just saying in general, people that are just like, oh, why do you want a PS5? Ugh, why don't you get a PC? This is the reason why, convenience and price.
Actually, let me go find, there was a video a long time ago, this guy, Cult of Mush, made. And he talked about the two, because he did talk about the advantages of console gaming and the advantages of PC gaming. One of the things he did bring up was, with consoles, one of the big selling points is price and convenience.
Yeah.
You don't have to put nothing together. It already comes assembled.
Plug it in and play, yep.
It's a lot cheaper, and it is more cheaper and player entry, player friendly, to where you just put it, plug up the one cord in the back, you're ready to rock and roll.
Not only that, but it's in terms of convenience too. Like, I know PS5 doesn't have this right now, but like, who remembers the older Xbox and PlayStation that you could just put into a backpack and go to your friend's house and then plug it in there?
Yeah,
like that was something you could do with those. You can't do that with these big ass towers that we got with cooling units. You can. It's going to be a pain in the ass, but it's going to be a thing. Sal says, oh, yay, I saved $60 by spending $2,000.
Yeah, that's what I was, that's what I was cracking up about myself, too. Yeah.
Oh, silent.
But yeah, but back to, I will say, though, again, like, we obviously trailed off a little bit, and that's perfectly fine, but I will say, I don't understand what Pulliam One is trying to do with this NFT console. That's the moral of the story. They're just, I don't understand.
They're trying to do something new. They're trying to go into some new area. Like I said, Web 3 and NFTs are new concepts. So they're trying to break into and bring it forward into a gaming format. And I'm afraid of it. I just, yeah. I don't like the terminology with the NFTs. And I don't like the terminologies with Web 3, so it kind of scares me a bit.
Yeah. It's just not the time. That, like, they might be a couple years too early for this, for what they're trying to do. That's all I'm saying. At least a decade too early, because right now they have to get NFTs to hit the ground running first, and then be able to, maybe after people understand the NFTs a little bit more, then at that point we can kind of play with it a little bit. Story number three is a two-parter. It's a PlayStation Nation, if you will. First one is from Raul Landeverde from Game Rant. Let's talk about this again for PlayStation. As the online gaming landscapes evolves with new ideas, Sony continues to file patents that could shape the future of the company and the PlayStation brand. One patent filed by Sony outlines an MMO processing system, which potentially ties into the company's plans to make more live service games in the years to come. Throughout 2022, Sony reiterated its plans to invest in the live service gaming space with acquisitions and wealth of new games and in active development. Sony's acquisition of Bungie is a clear sign of bringing talent under PlayStation Studios' umbrella with years of experience in live service games. This past February, Sony has confirmed plans to release at least 10 live service games by 2026. One of these live service games will be a new multiplayer game for PlayStation 5 by Jade Raymond's Haven Studios. Haven Studios is another major studio acquired by Sony this year. MMOs are the pioneer of modern-day live service gaming, and Sony is taking the genre into account with a new patent. The new patent by Sony details an MMO processing system utilizing various networks, compute units, and the cloud. According to the patent, computes are assigned to process gaming interactivity between one or more users in the game world. When the number of users surpasses the predetermined limit of region, subregions, and additional computes are assigned to other processing interactivity in the game world. So before we go on, I'm going to talk about the second part too as well. So this was shaping up just a little bit, but still in the PlayStation umbrella. John Walker from Kotaku says this in the article. As a new job ad reported by PlayStation Lifestyle after being spotted by Reset Era, strongly suggested that Sony might be trying to hire an engineer to get its PS3 emulation sorted. There's also rumors of getting old PS3 peripherals working on the new machine, which will be such a relief. If you have partaken of Sony's relaunch PlayStation Plus for the PS4 and PS5, you'll notice that when exploring the 400 plus games in its extensive archives, everything on PS3 has to be streamed. And oh man, the streaming sucks. The PS5 has so far been incapable of running PS3 emulation, which makes for a massive bummer when it comes to missing out on the entire generation of games on modern machines. The rebooted PS Plus offers the option to download games for PS1, PSP, PS2, and PS4. I'll also throw in the Vita. They didn't say Vita in there. And, of course, PS3. But for the PS3, you're stuck with streaming, or at least in my experience, that's a sucky mess of pixels and failure. So there's hope in the front, in the form on a new job of advertisement for software development engineer put on LinkedIn by PlayStation Studios. So that's a two-parter. First, let's talk about the MMO services, and then the second one is talking about emulation, PS3 emulation coming to PS5 potentially. Silent also says this in their post right here. Destiny hit gold with their ability to stay relevant as games as a service. While I can't argue with Sony's decision to acquire Bungie, the thought that they can replicate that even once is less than 10 times is absurd. I see what he's saying. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, I mean, PlayStation's strategy for all these years, for the most part, has just been like more of the Japanese market, like the RPG style, the story-driven narratives. That's been their MO, if you will. But now it looks like they're trying to keep that, but also start going inside more of the live service stuff as well, and probably have those be Sony exclusives. So, which will kind of be interesting to see how they go moving forward. But I do want to ask you boys, for the MMO news right here, and for the PS3 emulation, I want to start off with Mildewy. What does this news do for you?
The MMO really doesn't faze me too much, because as you guys know, I'm not a huge MMO person, you know. So I don't really get into them as much. I know Malachi sometimes will try and drag me into it for a 9-to-5 and all, which is a-okay by me, but I never really got into them. And I believe a lot of that I can blame on World of Warcraft, because pay-to-play just does not sit well with me currently, you know. I don't like it, but that's me. In terms of what they're trying to do here, you know, I'll just say this: I wish them the best of luck with it. You know, and hopefully they do it right to where it comes out well and it works for everyone. I don't have too much really input into it, because I don't, like I said, pay too much attention to MMOs that way. In terms of the porting for the engineer for PS3's emulation, about time. please, thank you, hurry up. You know, would love you for it. You know, bring back more. You know, can we also put one up for PS2, PS1? Something.
well, that's the thing, is that on the PlayStation you can still download the PS2, PS1 games. You can't do that for PS3. Yeah, you have to stream it.
Yeah, so I definitely say about time. I hope they get someone who's really good and that they can get it going, and we get a good library going for PS3 games coming over. You know, I would love to play some more of the older games I had on there, you know, onto my 4 or 5. So. We'll just have to wait to see once they get that spot filled, and you know, when they actually make a full announcement saying, hey, it's all working. But I'm happy about it.
Heard that. Nineball.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
About the...
both of them.
The new game.
MMO service and the PS3 emulation.
I think the PS3 emulation is excellent. It's something I've been waiting forever for. I wanted to play so many PlayStation 3 games. It's just you don't feel like streaming them, because You don't know what kind of internet you're going to have at any given time.
Yeah.
And as for the MMO, I don't know. Like, it can be good. I just don't know enough about it still. I want to see. Yeah, I want to see more about it.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Like, time will tell.
Yeah.
But like, when I think about the games that specifically were on, like MMO RPGs, for example, that were on PlayStation, and how those were handled, because DC Universe wasn't on Xbox actually. It was on PS3, and then came to PS4. I don't know if it hit Xbox later on, but I didn't realize that it was just PS3 or PlayStation and PC until like much later. But I thoroughly enjoyed DC Universe for quite a bit of time, until I want to say maybe until the Tier 4 armor came out for the in-game content. Around that time period, Tier 3 to 2-4 is when I started falling off of it. Even right now, Final Fantasy 14, which again is on, I know right now it's on, I'll allow that. right now the, like it's on PC and it's on PlayStation, and that's probably one of the top MMORPGs right now in the world, especially since World of Warcraft has been taking a major hit since the whole Activision Blizzard thing has been happening. Literally just silence says Sony has always been terrible about emulation. OG fat boy. PS3 is quite literally the ham that had the full of PS2 guts alongside its PS3 components, and was cheaper / easier than trying to run the PS2 games on the newer hardware via simulation. Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why they're bringing someone in. So hopefully that this person that's coming in is probably someone that's already doing emulations on PC right now. Like, if they're able to get one of those guys in here and maybe able to figure this crap out, then more power to them, and that will give more power to their service for the PlayStation Plus tiers. I said it before at the beginning of the stream, and I'll say it again. I've streamed one game on the PlayStation service. It was a PS3 game, and I'd streamed it just to see if it was worth me downloading it, because I think it was able to be like a PS4. Like, I think I had the option between buying it or streaming it, and I streamed it, and it streamed perfectly fine for me. I didn't have any issues. It didn't seem pixelated, didn't seem choppy, nothing like that. But again, it was the one game that I tried. And out of all the areas I've ever lived at, this location is probably the one location that has the worst connection. Mainly because my stuff is downstairs and I'm no longer hardwired in. So I think that could be affecting some of the signals a little bit, but I'm still able to stream, I'm still able to game and all that good stuff. It's just not as good as what I'm used to when I was living in my apartment complexes and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to, time will tell with the MMO services and trying to bring on those games as a service style games to the Sony platform. As far as the... Oh, no, that was... Okay, so I just mixed both of them together just now. But yeah. So like, yeah, I am excited. Time will tell for the MMO service, and then for the PS3 emulation. I think if they bring in the right... same thing, time will tell. If they bring in the right people, they can really beef up the subscription even more and maybe make even more people happy just by being able to download PS3 games and play their games.
We definitely wish them the best. You know, it definitely seems like they're taking steps in the right direction. Just, we got to get them to execute it right and, you know, deliver.
Yep. Yeah, just give us what we want, man. Give us what we want. Before we move on over to the fun ones, I did want to bring out here, Silent, this is earlier, he says, PSO2, which is Phantasy Star Online 2, had announced that they'll be coming to PS5 in August this year. I did see that. I didn't include that in the story because I feel like I might be the only one that cares about that, other than you inside the chat. But I am very excited about that. And I know that Phantasy Star Online, at least on PC and Xbox, it was a free download. So I'm assuming it's going to be the same way for PlayStation. And I cannot wait to start my journey on that.
That's the MMO version of it, right?
It's sort of... It's what we did for the New Year's stream.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it. Like, I remember it's definitely got story and all, but it's like got the MMO.
Yeah, aspect to it. Yeah, it does have that. And I'm pretty sure, I think the max you can have on a party when you're going out there inside the world is like 8. Usually it's 4, but I think if you're doing like a raid or something like that, you're doing 8. But I haven't played it enough to. I played Phantasy Star Online back in the day, 1 and 2, but that was on GameCube, and that was with Silent, literally. Literally just Silent. but yeah, so fast forward until now, I haven't touched PSO in a very long time other than the stream that we did do. So for it to come to PlayStation, it makes me pretty happy, to be honest with you. And I would love, yeah, I would love to jump back into it and go ahead and do my do all my mesas and trimates and dimates and all that stuff. Feed my mags, all that. Good times. before we jump into the fun ones, I also remind you guys that you guys can jump onto Raise Energy, get your Raise Energy drinks on there. Just go ahead and. Right. I'll get to your thing in a second. But make sure you guys go to RestSports, type in ALWT Gaming at checkout, get 15% off. That is ALWT Gaming, GAMING, checkout, get 15% off. Literally Just Silent says, MMO services, in my opinion, aren't being limited by the hardware at this point, but rather than the fact that most of them are extremely generic. I point to Elder Scrolls Online as an MMO that really does things well as far as making great content that can be played with solo or with friends. I do agree. A couple fun ones before my phone completely dies here. Skyrim is coming sooner than later. It's going to be a mod for that. Grace Benefell from GameSpot says this in the article. A revamped version of the popular co-op mode for Skyrim, entitled Skyrim Together Reborn, will release on July 8th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One of the developers had announced a release on Reddit, also stating that the support for previous versions of the mods is over. The mod supports 2 to 8 players, NPCs, quests, and items equipped are fully synced between players. Upon death, the wild players spawn nearby, and they spawn at the entrance of the dungeon if death occurs there. You can even play with mods, though it's recommended that everyone plays with the same mods in the same load order. Upcoming features include weather syncing, shared map markers, and scripting API to allow more customizable servers and better mod capability. Understandably, changing a massive single-player game into a co-op experience is extremely difficult. The project is run by students in their free time. It goes without saying that there will be unforeseen bugs and issues. However, the team promises that it will be massive improvement over previous versions of the mods. So there you have it. If you guys are really into Skyrim, and that's something that that's probably the one thing, as many times as Skyrim's been released, that's probably the one announcement that would get me into Skyrim, and not just in the Skyrim, but Skyrim on PC. That's probably the thing that would do it for me, to be completely honest. So we'll have to see. Amazon Prime Day. Stephen Petit from GameSpot says this in the article. Moving 2 abnormal years for the Amazon Prime Day, the annual sale event returning to its July roots. Amazon Prime 2022 is set for July 12th through the 13th, so we're less than a week away from the massive sale. Early Prime Day deals are already live, and we expect more deals to become available throughout the week leading up to the 48-hour event. As always, Prime Day 2022 won't be the only big sale to shop. Other major retailers will be running anti-Prime Day sales to compete with Amazon. All told, Prime Day 2022 will offer a can't-miss deals opportunity across gaming, tech, entertainment, and more. So if you guys are into Amazon Prime Day, be sure to check that out. Again, that's a week from today. It's only lasting until Wednesday, which is the 13th. And last but not least, you guys got your PlayStation Plus games that came out today at noon. Stephen Petit says this in the article. The latest batch of free games for PlayStation Plus subscribers is now live. July's 2022 PS Plus lineup includes Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, which is the PS4 and PS5 version, mind you. The Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan, and Arcadeageddon. The trio of PlayStation Plus free games will be until August 2nd for PS4 and PS5 users. This is one of the better PS Plus lineups of the year. So PlayStation Plus subscribers have a couple of fun games to check out this month. So, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our showcase. That wraps up our discussion. And of course, you already know that we're going to be back at it like a bad habit this Thursday with our SIN segment, Strength in Numbers, with some more of that Monster Hunter world as we go through the campaign of that one. And then next Saturday, so not the 9th, but the 16th, we're going to have our 9 to 5. We missed out on June, but we're back at it like a bad habit for July. So be sure you guys are tuning in to that. We will let you guys know the... We will let you guys know that the week of what game we're going to be playing, so you guys can view that as we play it. And then that's going to be 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Malachi, I know how much you were bummed about Final Fantasy 16 in the Fantasy League, so I went ahead and dropped it. Feel free to pick it up at your leisure. You jerk! I'll pick it up next year. You know, that was very generous of you. I'll pick it up next year. Thank you very much.
Sure. Like, I mean, he was so nice about it. He dropped it because he really cared about you on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And though I appreciate the sentiment, next year. I'll wait until next year, right? My heart can't heal in 2022, but it will heal in 2023. You know? So there you have it. But yeah, so we'll be right here again live on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. If you guys want to check us out, make sure you guys check us out on the social media platforms. My phone is absolutely dead, so I can't even look at any more comments. So on here, like I said,
gotcha.
Thank you. So I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. This Thursday is going to be our SIN segment, which is our Monster Hunter World. Next Tuesday is going to be back at it, like just like this again. We're going to be doing a video game podcasting, all that. I actually have some special guests lined up, too, as well, in the upcoming months. So be on the lookout for that, because there are going to be some brand new faces you guys probably never seen before, but they are inside the streaming industry. I am Malachi36. Nineball, do you have anything else?
No.
Mildewy, do you have anything else?
No. Stay safe and game on.
Game on. That's all you can do, you know? And with that, we bid you guys adieu. Control. Alt.
Complete.
Nineball. Complete. Zip. I'm sorry.